look at who we sitting here with. I don't even an introduction. I mean, we'll do an introduction, but I don't think it's needed. Anybody who's from where we from, legend.
My dog.
No, legend. Like, let's give it. Let's keep it real.
Appreciate you.
From Crossroads to the NBA to everything that you stepped in, you for real, and you're the first. You're always the first. Like, always the first. Like, always constantly shifting the narrative of the culture. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I mean, if y'all don't know, Baron Davis, LA's own. My man, happening? Chief Johnson. We on a suite life. We here at Baron's spot. We here to, like, talk about all things positive, and you are that, man. Again, you really do. You walk around like you are the... You what LA is, like,
no,
for really.
I appreciate that.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Because you've been an advocate for so many so early, also advocating for yourself. But let's jump into your story. Let's jump into what you're doing, where you've been, what's going on currently.
Man, currently, you know, just working on kind of one where I Slick Studios. So we've been doing this for 3 years.
Okay.
I don't know if this is like Sweet Life vibes
for
you.
Is this Bart Oatmeal spot?
This is actually the Bart Oatmeal spot is we got an Oatmeal Radio Cafe. Okay. That's over there.
Okay.
But the goal for this really was like my first goal when I moved in here, and before I moved in, is I had all these ideas and I had IP and I was like, you know, writing scripts and coming up with, you know, different ideas, you know, for the trademark of Black Santa.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, all right, we trademark Black Santa, you know, and then how can we like extend it to become like a bigger world? So then we trademark League of Santas. Then from there, it was like, well, we need a place that they all live in and like, what's the bigger world? And so we came up with You Wish Academy.
Okay.
And basically, You Wish Academy is like a place where dreams get fulfilled, right?
Okay.
Where magic happens. And so your story is your superpower. And, you know, what we all kind of realized was, you know, you make it, you know, you're a kid, you make it, you're playing in the NBA, you're always this kid, you know what I mean? And then when you actually retire, you're like, damn, I'm actually not a kid, I'm an adult. You know what I mean? And the best thing about retirement is like being able to like live through your kids, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at, you know, what this new generation, you know, holds, right? Okay. It's like, how do we give these kids the tools to be successful, right? Because we were never given those tools to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
We were giving the dreams. We're the dreamers. Mm-hmm. The people, like, they say we can't go over there. Why? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and we're going, yeah, or are we going to look over the fence? And then, oh, I know so-and-so, and that's how we kind of, like,
had to navigate
and spend our time, like, cracking into industries, you know? And then from a local perspective, from L.A., it's like L.A. creators, producers are always going to get overlooked unless we make noise in L.A., you know what I mean?
Why do you think that is?
Because I think that a lot of times, like, you got to look at LA as a segregated place.
Okay.
And so this line of segregation of the hood to Hollywood and everywhere in between, like, an idea percolates here, you know what I mean? It keeps getting developed. By the time it gets here, there's been four or five different people either stealing it, you know what I mean, know how to sell it, and they're or taking it and like trying to recreate their own. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of the way I look at LA. That's why I built this place right in the middle, because the studio was like, can we have our own studio? Can we have our own club, creator clubhouse? Can we have our own meeting where, you know, investors meet, right? And so, you know, LA never really had a studio. And then LA never really had a cohesive, like, platform, right? And so when I think about athletes, when I think about me in LA, when I think about localizing, you know, the opportunities, then I'm like, all right, let's start with the kids. You Wish. All right, You Wish Academy. Let's get kids signed up to start learning about financial literacy. You know what I mean? Let's get kids, you know, highlighted, not just on their, you know, being a one of a kind, but like what else? You know what I mean? And so, you know, helping these young kids that are in NIL, in high school, you know, be able to get development in front of camera, giving young kids the opportunity to interview these kids, not only them, but pros, but, you know, basically building a platform that allows for youth sports to be, you know, kind of like cemented and guard kept by the right people with the right integrity. So as these athletes start retiring their kids, you know, it's easier to pour into your kids and other kids, you know? And that was the thing, is like, how can we build something like that? And then how can we share in the IP of Black Santa and stories and kids? And, you know, it's like one story is going to spark thousands of ideas. And so how do we be able to, you know, put that through a funnel as well? And so that was You Wish. It was like, start with the kids. Then Slick was like, all right, who are we and what are we in our generation of sports, lifestyle, and culture? You know what I mean? And in sports, lifestyle, and culture, like, we are the pioneers of how all this shit came together.
Yeah.
So You Wish, you can't say shit, but Slick, you can say shit, whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And how do we, you know, sports is being covered by so many different angles. Once again, how do we take that and give perspective and culture to it? So LA, you know what I mean, has a sound, a tone, a view, a style, a look, in music, art, fashion, entertainment, sports. Detroit, different from LA. Chicago, different from Detroit and LA. Similar, but different. You know what I mean? And so Slick was built to say, like, how can we kind of like build out, you know, these studio clubhouses, you know, in these different places where creators, executives, marketing people can come and like we can congregate and come up with ideas, you know what I mean? And content ideas to help amplify, you know, kind of like those local artists.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when I touch down, when people touch down in LA, we want them to be like, yo, I'm coming to Slick.
Yeah, got it.
What I mean? And then the third thing is business inside the game. And that's taking, you know, it's just taking a kid from a pathway of financial literacy, saying like, yo, if you're a kid star, you know, you wind up becoming, you know, a basketball icon, you know what I mean? When you retire, what happens? And so if we can build that financial funnel where they understand their worth, their value, their money, you know, by the time they get to the pros, they'll already be prepared. By the time they leave the pros, they will be overly prepared in most of their
endeavors.
Super diverse.
Yeah.
And they will know like what they want to do. And usually at the end of the day, it goes back to kids. And family. And so that's just kind of like what I've been working on. And like, you know, coming from here, it's like, one, people going to look at me and say, oh, that's BD from LA. Oh, that's BD. He went to Crossroads. Or that's BD played in the NBA. And so a lot of it is like cutting away being pigeonholed and being boxed in, and really allowing myself to get in different industries so I can figure out, okay, what is making this industry successful? Why don't we have a piece of that? What makes this industry successful? Why don't we have a piece of that? And then start to like create structures where I can identify the people and say, hey, like, here's an opportunity, you know, to get from here to here.
It's funny that you, when I listen to you and you say pigeonhole, because I never, you're one of the athletes that I felt hasn't been pigeonholed, because you made a cognizant choice, it seems early, like you were going to be in all these different spaces. I think the first time I met you, you were with Warren. Cash. Yeah. And you guys had a facility. I was like, yo, I came from BD spots. You should see it, you know. But it's just funny that you feel like you're pigeonholed, because I feel like, again, you're one of the beacons that has really helped people see like the potential, the promise outside of, you know.
Yeah, I think that's basketball. Yeah, I think that's the point. It's like you can't worry about where people are trying to place you.
Yeah.
You know, I've had agents say, hey, you got to get more famous. And I'm like, what? Like, all right, I'm not on that. You know what I mean? And I had people say, like, you got to just do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there's also like, I'm not going to say fans. You know what I mean? I just say people who like really fuck with me, and like there's a lot of people watching me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can feel it. And so I can feel that responsibility. And so that's why it's like, if I do jump over somewhere and be like, yo, this is da da da, like, you know what I mean? Like even like Web3 and crypto and all that, like I dove in head first to understand it, to understand what needed to be built, to understand who were all in our culture that were building shit for it, and then what is the actual solution, you know what I mean? And so for me, it was like, man, I'm gonna inspire or find, you know, the next generation, that person for this, that should be the one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And so that's kind of like, and then when I learn it, I can explain it. Yeah. And now like, the people that I know that don't understand it, that are the best people positioned for it, it's easy to give them the information and let them become super successful in it, because now you've identified, like, yo, here's the ecosystem.
Yeah.
Here's a trusted ecosystem. You know what I mean? And so people are watching, right? And people be like, yo, you in that? Like, I'm dope. I want to do this. You know what I mean? And so it's like, how can we unlock these potholes?
Yeah. As opposed to you just putting your name, attaching your name to things, you're actually a student of the game too, and you're learning. So it makes it more authentic when you do approach people and you're like, yo, I do want to get involved with this. Wanted to ask, like, when did storytelling and content and the financial things, when did that kind of start clicking in for you? Was it towards the beginning of your career, the end of it? Like, What prompted that in you?
I think for storytelling, it was just, I always say, like, I had to have an incredible imagination to block out all the things that I saw as a child.
And that could possibly hinder you from getting to where you needed to go.
And like, yeah. And like thinking about, like, looking at people in a different way.
Mm.
Right. So like the crackhead wasn't just a crackhead. You know what I mean? It wasn't a crackhead. You know what I mean? Like it was a person. You know what I'm saying? They just used, you know what I mean? It was just used drugs. But like, who was it? Like, nobody was afraid of that. Like, you couldn't be afraid of something that you saw every day or people you saw every day. But it was crazy to see like people go from real people to that.
To that. Oh.
And then, you know, gangs and violence and all that. So I think just growing up in that environment, you know what I mean? I had to create these stories and stories for these people that I would not be afraid of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That you had empathy for.
And awareness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and awareness. And it was, you know, you caught in like some crazy situations, and it's not just my story, but it's also watching other people too. Watching your best friend go to jail for life. You know what I mean? Like, you know, seeing that person like two blocks away getting arrested, and it's like, damn, dude, I'm never gonna see this dude probably ever again. You know what I mean? In life. And then going to Crossroads. And going to Crossroads and coming home for the riots and seeing people carrying like furniture on it, you know what I mean? And water in the backyard. So I think all of those are stories.
Those are.
Yeah.
And those are like vividly in my, you know, like life as a child. So when I went, you know, so as a kid, so kind of blocking that off, meeting all these different people and just trying to like create stories, you know what I mean? So I could always have, you know, like this world that I could live in that would, you know, kind of like mirror, create kind of like a mirror wall, you know what I mean? Of what was actually outside, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Of what I was doing from a basketball perspective. And then I think that just kind of became like an interesting thing as the rooms start getting bigger and bigger, or the maze that I was building for myself. So like financial literacy came, I think early, you know what I mean? It's like when you don't have a lot and you come into a lot, and then things are missing, you're like, hold on, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, this is not how that works. And you start asking questions. And so I think for me, it's like curiosity on that side, trying to figure out how to unwind that Rubik's Cube was like big for me, and like figuring out how can I make myself independent enough so I can be able to understand that to find the best. It's always about like, understanding and trying to find the best people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's still, I know contractual in music and NBA and all these things, like, but it still trips me out that there's so many people that still are in extremely horrible contracts. So they blow through all their money really, really fast with the wealth of knowledge that's out there. And then also people like yourself, right, who I feel like you've made, you have platforms and you made yourself obtainable to, for people to receive knowledge. And does it still, do a lot of NBA players reach out, or is there, you ever thought about like getting involved with them to help more, you know, with the financial literacy portion of it? Cause I feel like that still plagues so many professional athletes in general.
Yeah. I think, one, yes, for sure. And I think it started with the kids. You know, I think that's why we built the UH platform. And then with big business inside the game, you know, I think you said it, it was like you give people game. It's like I'm trying to learn the game so I can unlock the game. And so how does that, it always goes back to how and who was that person that I know from my basketball life? You know what I mean? And so I think from a financial literacy standpoint, like now with Big, it's like, how do we unlock these industries? How do we unlock these superheroes, these people who really care, right? Who want to reverse the narrative, right? And then how do you put the athletes directly with those people?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think, you know, the number one thing is like, you'll get the money, but they don't give you the instruction. And so...
Well, how to sustain it. Right.
Or even what scale. It is. Yeah, it ain't even scaling, it's what it is. And so the information is there, but there's not a great deal of understanding from this side of the financial ecosystem of who this person is. And so you're just paying their bills. You're just giving them money. You're just giving them bad advice and telling them to invest, you know, here when they, you know, their superpower may lie in another industry. And so it's really just an underappreciation, underlearning, you know, of athletes, what they're capable of, you know what I mean? And so a big part of that for me with Big is to unravel that, right? Is to allow athletes to wake up in the morning, go into their app and be like, oh, that's a cool company. Oh, that's good information. Hey, here's something that I can participate in physically. Here's something that, or a workshop I want to learn about, you know, medical, you know, medical tech, right? Here's a workshop for this. I want to learn about e-commerce. You know what I mean? And so now, you know, for Big, it's really like, how do you build micro communities around thought leadership? And then how do you service that, you know, from a content perspective, where now the athlete is just like this is who I want to be when I grow up. Oh, I want to be like this in the next 5 years. But it's all kind of like in a guided ecosystem with people who really want to share information, share knowledge.
I love that. I love that.
Do you?
So I'm getting into that space. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you? So to hop back on that point really quickly. You were saying that it's sort of an underserviced like space in terms of there's just sort of this cookie cutter conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
I got a CPA and he pays my bills and da 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 da. But again, like you said, the unlocking of the knowledge. I've often watched, you know, the information that you've been given and the information that, let's say,
X.
Okay, we'll say X.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll say X is given. Okay, we'll say X is given. Why do you think there's this totally different information
given? I'm older. You know what I mean? We all start the same. Some of us, some of us come from families and parents who worked all their life and know all that shit too. So, you know, I think there's a huge misconception around, you know, athletes really being taken advantage of versus athletes who are, you know, doing really well and taking advantage of their situation. Mm. The ones that are being taken advantage of, right? Those are the ones that need the help.
But what I'm asking here, I think I need to be more specific.
How are they retaining the information?
Is Tom Brady getting the same information that you got at his start? Is he getting the same information that you got?
I mean, it's all the same information when
is
you
it?
Think about it. It's just who's around you to help you craft that information.
Proximity.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Is it your mother and your father? Does your mother and your father have got parents that, you know, are lawyers in the entertainment business or CPA? You know what I mean? Like, the first thing, it's like, let's start with $1 million, right?
Okay.
You got $1 million. It's the first thing you're going to do.
I'm talking that, I mean, I'm dealing with my financial
bullshit. Advisor.
When you're 19.
19 years old, you got $1 million.
Oh, what are
you
about to do? Yeah. Oh, now
you. You, back then.
Back then.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Range buy Rover.
Buy a car.
Yeah.
Right? I'd have probably tried to buy my mom a house.
Okay, first. So you're going to put some
that's
money
bad,
down.
That's bad.
Right.
But I'm
right.
just saying, that's what I would have
right.
done.
Right.
Because I've been taught. That's what we've been taught. Like, we want to take care of our mom.
That's not bad.
Yeah, okay.
It's not bad. It's just what you've been taught.
Got
you
it.
Haven't been... You've been told.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You haven't been taught.
Yeah.
Because if you were taught, I got $1 million when I buy my mom a house, then you would know how to spend that $1 million to get your mom a house.
Yeah. You'll know that there's property taxes and that there's escrow and like...
Somebody. Right?
Uh-huh.
And so there's a... Think about an upper class... of information, how it's kept and being retained. There's a middle class, and then there's a lower class. And so it's the same information, it's just who's translating the information for kids like me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm kinda okay, you know what I mean? I'm kinda okay being BD, you know what I mean? But like, a lot of other dudes that I seen and got drafted with and things like that, like, they were not okay. You know what I mean? And so, like, you start seeing people and you start comparing yourself, like, damn, dude, like, I know what I got. I know what they got. I know how they live. I know how I live. Like, damn, something ain't right. Mm. But I also live a certain way. We also live a certain type of way, but it's just a different way that I do it than they do it.
Yeah.
And so that's, for me, is like really the community and the ecosystem of talented individuals and young people that we should now, as, you know, our generation, be looking to Take care of that next 19-year-old. Take care of that 25, 26-year-old. You know what I mean? And information is key. Teaching them is one, you know, another thing. But, like, for athletes, we got to kind of be, like, hands-on.
Yeah. Yeah.
We learn by making mistakes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Repetitive, repetition. So a part of big business inside the game is, like, don't be afraid to transition into, you know, your after career. Don't be afraid to start that process, you know, and be able to switch that process up as you're going through that career, because there should be, you know, this wealth of information, right, and teachings and people that, you know, you have a safety net to, like, figure out what you want to be.
Yeah.
NIL.
And there's no rush. You know what I mean? There's no rush to that.
NIL has definitely expedited that education, though, that you gotta get it a lot earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, it's the same thing. It's all the same thing. And it's like, what part of the chain do you fix?
Yeah.
Because Tom Brady gonna always be cool. You know what I mean? LeBron gonna be cool.
Yeah.
It's the other people who want to be that. And it's like, you can be that. You can be a Tom Brady. You can be a LeBron. You know, maybe not on the court or in the field, but you can be the best you can on the field, and you can be the best and reach your highest capacity of business.
Yeah.
And maybe be even luckier than, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even luckier than they are, or even just as potent as a business person or well respected. You know, it's just understanding your level of capacity and where you are.
Yeah. I think the power of knowing yourself, and like you said, being able to identify what your, whatever that craft is, whether it's basketball or baseball or football, like outside of that, what is your passion? And yeah. I think a lot of people don't identify that, or they never really take the time to do it, because sometimes I think education in a world now where instant gratification is so key.
Yep.
People don't want to go and do that. Even for themselves, it's like, you don't want to take that time to, like, read a book or, you know, watch something, you know, earn your leisure and learn about finances or some of those other things, because you rather watch that 30-second clip that gives you, like, whatever it is in that moment. So the platform that you build in is so incredible. And I think that's what we're trying to do with this. And, you know, we've been at it for a year, and, you know, a lot of people have approached us, and they try to be like, oh, you guys got to get, like, the controversial part of things. And we're like, that's not what we're trying to build here, because we are also older too. Yeah. And my purpose now is to disseminate the information that's been taught to me.
For sure, bro. Like, we got, like, now I got a show, WTF. It's ignorant. We can be ignorant.
Yeah.
Funny. We can be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's enough of that shit. You know what I mean? And I think that, and not to knock nobody's shit, but, like, people be posturing. And if we keep watching the same shit, we gonna get lost in those 30-second clips about the drama. You know what I mean? So I appreciate what y'all doing, because we need to create more mediums. That's the goal of Big. Create more conversations around thought leadership that allow people to, like, be comfortable speaking, be comfortable sharing their superpower. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Big is collective oriented. So one of the collectives is Big Dreams, right? And it's all about, you know, storytelling. It's all about, you know, financial literacy and how can we, you know, better evolve as a community, raising family, raising kids. It's just really about the information, the gathering to seek out, like, how do we raise a better generation? How do we be more inclusive? How do we, you know, how do we be more forward thinking? You know what I mean? How do we not lose old school values as well? You know what I mean? And so if you get the right people talking about it, you get the right ecosystem of people kind of champion that, we're going to identify and be able to, you know, to amplify all those right people and those voices through the platform.
Yeah.
You know, and then have the ability to like invest in the ones that we know we want to wrap our arms around and, you know, help them bring, to life.
Yeah.
In regards to your superpowers, Baron Davis's superpowers, who was the first person to sort of, hey, Baron, you can go here. And then ultimately that leading to you. Also want to know how, from where you were, how you got to Crossroads, because mm-hmm. I think that's an important part of your journey.
Yeah, my grandmother wanted me to go to a better school than the school out Drew Middle School I was going to have to go to.
Okay.
At the time, in the time period, it was just, it was cracking. Mm-hmm. It was not that great to be riding a bus. A kid that I went to school with, that was friends, used to hoop with, got killed at the bus stop. And the bus stop is the same bus stop. I would have to take the one across the street going the other way. But she didn't want me to do that. My AAU coach, Thaddeus McGrew, he was like, damn, dude, Baron could get along with anybody. I think that's what he was thinking. You know what I mean? It was like a lot of people were thinking for me and praying for me. You know what I mean? And looking out. And he worked at K-Swiss. He sponsored like 4 or 5 high schools because he was like the director of marketing. And we were sponsored by K-Swiss. And I think he saw the point guard. His name is Trayvon Muhammad, but it was Trayvon Dugar at the time at Crossroads. And Trey was like 5'6", 5'7", if that. And he was like, damn, dude, that's Baron. That could be Baron in high school. Like, he can go somewhere, play high school basketball, probably start being this small, because I was the tiniest dude. And he was like, him and my grandma started talking. Crossroads coach Daryl Roper came and saw me play. And Daryl Roper went to Fremont High, so he was from that area. His niece was going to Crossroads and got accepted. You know, her mom was a professor at Santa Monica College.
Wow.
And so, like, it was, like, everything. And then they lived on 79th. We lived on 85th. So it was on the other side of Fremont. We was close to Manchester. And so that's kind of, like, how it happened. It was just people pulling, Mm-hmm. I went toward the school. I was like, oh, you're a cool little kid. Like, I was tiny, bro. I was, like, I was a tiny little innocent kid. And, I think that for me it was more so, like, I would say I was always a project at Crossroads because it was, like, they never had somebody like me, you know what I mean? And so it was like an understanding of growth, you know what I mean? From the time I got there to the time I left, you know what I mean? It's like it allowed me to understand a lot of shit that I probably wouldn't have understood, you know what I mean? And there were two sides. You know what I mean? There were two brains.
Yeah.
One that can click and be traumatic, you know what I mean? And one that could click in, be focused and appreciative and be like, damn, dude, like, I ain't got to worry about a lot of the shit that causes the I can worry about that on my ride home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't have to worry about, boxing on the boat, on the bus or... at school, all that, those things that, you would have to worry about. I didn't really have to worry about none of that. I just had to worry about getting dropped off, going home, going to the house, do my homework. If there's some, if there's some daylight outside, I'm going to South Park Elementary. I'm about to, So that was my granny's only concern. And she would like walk across the street and be like, yo, street lights, you gotta
let's go.
And I'd be like, come on, yo, this is a night game. Like, it's cracking. But we couldn't even see at night. But we'd be out, we'd play all, as soon as I can get home. But when I started going to Crossroads, I wasn't getting home till like 5, 6 some nights.
Wow.
It's real.
So it was like work, It was like a real, like job, but that all those people pulled in, shout out to Paul Cummings. He was a headmaster. He got me braces. Damn. He was like, yo, man, you need to have a good smile. I'm gonna get you braces so you can have a better smile, so you know what I mean? So you can learn how to speak. They just, like, Crossroads.
The advocacy was crazy.
Crossroads was a place that it allowed you to be who you wanted to be. And because I didn't know who I was. You know what I mean? And so it was a lot of that. Like, you didn't know who you were. You were ashamed from where you come from. You didn't want to share your story. You're embarrassed. You know what I mean? And all these people are living and telling these incredible stories. You're like, shit, man. Like, my life fucked up. You know what I mean? And then you realize, like, they're kids too.
Yeah.
And so their parents be gone. My parents ain't around. You know what I mean? And it's like, you start realizing that. We back at where I was a kid. Here's a story. Yeah. Here's a situation. And I'm just asking questions and, you know, just trying to understand who these, you know, who these kids are, what this world I'm in. And it's like a much bigger world than like the four or five blocks I hang out in, you know, when I'm at home.
That exposure is so important for kids, you know. We talk about that too, is just like being able to have those experiences to see outside of your neighborhood or, you know, just your friends and family. Like, we moved around a lot when I was growing up and I was exposed to like white kids, Hispanic kids, Indian kids, like Asian kids, and
I was on
all
the west
types
side.
Of different music. Yeah. And that shaped me and that helped me. And like you said, to be able to look at other people and understand, like, we might look different, but we go through a lot of the same things, you know? So, you know, I think exposing children to a lot of different things and situations and helps open them up and figuring out who they are and all that, too.
It's fearful. Initially, you're fearful, but then, again, you find your way in that ecosystem. I remember, like, the homie literally dropped me off in Calabasas. When Calabasas was, when Mountain View Estates was first starting. And it was a gentleman named Norm Harris who owns a place now called Norm's Rare Guitars on Ventura and Van Alden right now. Mm-hmm. You can go in there and buy guitars for like 15, 20 grand. And me and his son, and he was just like basically looking out for me, advocating for me, like, you can go far. Like, you're going to be in the music industry. I was like, how do you figure this out? I'm just telling you. And he was the first guy taking me to like games. And I remember him taking me to the Reseda Country Club and having to put on a jacket and all these different things. And initially I was embarrassed because he would ask me, like, do you have a jacket to wear? I was like, bro, come on. Uh-oh. I'm from Springdale. I'm from the west side of Long Beach. You know what I mean? I don't, what are we talking about right now? I don't have to, Tams, you don't have to wear a jacket at Tams. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
like, what are we talking
I mean,
about
you
right
kinda
now?
Do, but,
you kind of do, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, not that jacket.
Not
you
that
know what I'm
kind
saying?
of jacket. Real talk. Real talk.
You may have to have a jacket. Or not. You know what I mean? Damn, that's the gamble. You know what I mean?
That's the gamble.
That's the gamble growing up with how we grew up. It's like, man, do I wear this jacket to Tams? You know what I mean? This bomber jacket to Tams? And like, if I'm going to protect myself and I ain't got no protection, but I'm just letting, you know what I mean? I'm giving off the perception like, hey, don't fuck with me. They gonna fuck with you. Right? Then you be like, you know what? I ain't going no jacket. I want neutral colors, t-shirt, basketball outfit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't mean no. I'm just going to get me something to eat. They gonna fuck with you then. You know what I mean? So it's putting on a country club jacket is like, it's just as traumatizing. Because you're like, what the fuck am I walking into?
What am
into?
I doing?
Yeah. What am I
And the jacket
to?
Was his. It was way big. He didn't have time. He didn't know I didn't have a jacket.
Yeah.
And they were going to dinner on
like,
a Friday night.
These people
like,
looking at me crazy.
No,
like, I'm
all right.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, man. And I'm seeing all the real shit.
Yeah.
The spoons and the forks. And, hey, grab that one first. And I'm like,
fire.
Bro, this is crazy. But
yeah.
At the same time, it groomed me. Cause I'm in Mountain View Estates and I'm watching that gate open when I go visit the homies, like in the guard shack and all the houses being built up. And I'm like, yo, I could, this is, This is a possibility. This is a real possibility. I don't know exactly how I'm gonna get there, but this is a possibility.
Yeah. It's something you it's can something. See.
It's tangible. And it's tangible. Now it's tangible. Now
and
it's
that's
tangible.
What I think. Like we, you know, one.
That's what you're creating.
Kid, yeah, from a kid's perspective, is that, you know, I can make up a dope story about my daddy to my kids. Why not? You know what I mean? Mm. And we have to start, and it goes back to Black Santa, we got to start building these characters and superheroes that have no flaws, that shows empathy, that shows like, hey, there is an essence to what you are. Mm. The better you understand yourself, you know what I mean? And the better you understand, like going back to, you know, like we have a shallow understanding of who we are. You know what I mean? Everything we see is a shallow depiction of who we are. And so can we break that scar tissue and allow for us to start with like characters that we own, characters that we can create, stories that we can create, you know what I mean? And that there is where our kids' imagination lie. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because Fat Albert we had when we were young, you know what I mean? Hammer Man, we can name them all, you know what I mean? And it got into the Proud Family, you know, even the PJs, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
and also the things we were watching the shows, like, you know, we from the like Cosby era. You know what I'm saying? We from a different world.
You know what I mean? Impact, yeah. Living you know Single.
Rock. Like
finally, Martin, you know what I mean? Just different things like that. Yeah. We got a chance to see ourselves, you know. Amen. That was a good show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Rock, the garbage.
The
man.
Rock. Right. Sure. Now we don't have none of that shit.
Yeah.
We don't have none of those. Yeah. Like we don't, and everything that we get is just a shallow approach of what who we are, and it's not giving us it's and our kids a real dreaming palette. You know what I mean? It's just like
everything
keep
is
feeding
like
them micro doses of shit.
Yeah, it's like everything's through the eyes of like trauma.
And that's why they have trauma.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they just want to know like who they are, who they can be. And like, you know, what they want to watch or, you know what I mean? It's the same shit we were as kids. Like nobody was paying attention to us. Everybody was, you know, some shit hit, a lot of shit didn't, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, we had to figure out how to make these dreams happen. Or wish ourselves into these spaces. Our kids just need to be empowered to feel comfortable being in the space. And for us to monitor, because guess what? They're gonna change their mind. They're gonna wanna go from superheroes to Pokemon to basketball cards. You know what I mean? To space, to animals, you know what I mean? And so like our goal, our job is to like make them comfortable being like, hey, like, great, you can learn that and teach them. We're not teaching people shit. We're just arguing with each other about what everybody is saying. You know what I mean? And everybody's offended by everything that, you know, and so like the more we argue and the less we actually pour in, we're just missing a great opportunity to like
further divide too.
To build culture. Like people don't build culture anymore. Like they just use the word to say like, yo, we're pillaring the culture. But it's like, man, it's just a fucking shallow approach to what we're getting. You know what I mean? Like name a movie that you love in the last 5 years. Name a movie that you like, God damn, dude, I gotta watch that shit again. That shit is like
nothing.
Now name two movies in high school. Name two movies in high school that you'd be like, yo, if that shit came on today, I'll watch it. I still watch it.
The Wood.
A bunch of those. The Wood. the Woods. And why?
For me, the Wood, you saw three, you know, black men who obviously had gone through college and everything. They were getting married. They were just, they were at this fork in the road in the life, but it was all this way. Yep. It was all this. And that wasn't to say that they didn't have trials and tribulations, because you saw this shit with the Hood. Remember when he was going into the, they went into the liquor store. Yeah. And homie was like, that's real shit.
Right.
That
exactly.
happened.
Yeah.
That's exactly from where I'm from, like Eddie's Liquor, like, yo, on a Friday night, it could go down. It could go either all bad, or somebody could be out there with some Cheetos and eat. Like, you might see, you know, like you said, the neighborhood crackhead or the neighborhood drunk. And he would be like, yo, they not letting me in the store no more. I've been drinking all day. Go in there and buy me a beer and you can buy some Cheetos and da-da-da. It could be that experience, or it could be another experience. For me, was like the West Side Longos lived right there. So it could be some whole other shit that's going to happen. But to see the way that we were able to navigate those things, and that's when we actually started having to figure out how to negotiate our existence, so to speak.
Yep. Hell yeah.
That's the first way.
Yeah, but at least it's something you relate to.
Yeah.
That, you know,
I related.
Mean?
There's
like, and then if somebody was in New York, they'd be like, oh, that's what they deal with in LA. You know what I mean?
We still deal with it. We just call it a bodega. Or we just
stoop. It's more relatable. It's like I want authentic New York shit. I want authentic shit from Atlanta,
New Orleans.
Like, I want those stories, you know. And The Wood was not a shoot 'em up bang bang movie. It was a comedy. You know what I mean? Pretty much to me, that shit was funny as fuck.
Yeah.
But it's like we don't have
movies that, like, I haven't seen a movie where it's like, motherfucker, something.
Yeah,
there's something.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
We just, I don't want another slave movie. I'm sorry.
It's like, man, we just on, you know, either we on trial for murder. I mean, I like Creed. I think Creed is a good version of, like, all right, this is like our version of Rocky. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yo, there was a show on I was watching a little bit, and it was nostalgic for me. It was The Wonder Years. They redid it.
Yeah.
Did you ever see it?
No, I didn't see it.
So they did it with an all black cast.
Oh, that's fire.
And it was during the same time, and they even connected the families. So the family, the black family, how they were connected to little Kevin Arnold's family was that Kevin Arnold's girlfriend Winnie on that show, her at the very beginning of The Wonder Years, he's killed in Vietnam. On the black show,
they was troopers.
They were together. So that's it starts from like 69 when King is killed and assassinated and blah blah blah, and just living in Mobile, Alabama, and going to the country, and then that turmoil, like, in the black family. Yo,
that's some good shit great. On, dude. There's some good great. Shit on, but it's just like,
far and few.
How do we find it? You know
far
what I mean? It's so much watered down shit. It's like,
yeah.
How do you find the good shit? I want to watch that.
You are creating a platform for the new creators. So you're going to see what you want to see.
Yeah.
Because you're helping spearhead that. So that's beautiful. Yo, BD, thank you.
I appreciate you. This is a dope show.
Looking forward to building more. Yep. And I'm excited about everything you got going on. And again, we appreciate your time, King.
Nah, love, bro. Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Let's do this more often, man. Let's see how we can
get y'all
connected to what we doing with Big and You Wish and, you know, whatever else we got with Slick with the studio. You know, our spot is your spot.